the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here, your host of this show, the Approaching the Natural podcast. Welcome, everybody. Glad you are here. Just to set the time, date, and place, without the date or the time, I am in Marshall, Texas right now for the Health Fest. I just did a couple talks today and busted out a podcast interview as well today, which is kind of cool. But before I get to the info on that, few quick announcements. You know the deal. If you're just joining me, then you might not. Please go back and listen to old episodes if you're just joining me. I do throw in interviews now and then. This is one of those episodes. I think you're going to love this one. But if you're just joining me, you want to know generally what's going on here, please go back and listen to even last week's or a few times before. I know there's a few people that were at the talks today that might be busting on here. So that's what you do. Okay, go back and listen to old ones. Word okay. Wow, I almost sounded cool there just for like a second. I sounded kind of cool. Sid Garza Hillman is where you find me. SidGarzaHillman.com is my website, but all the social media kinds of things are all under Sid Garza Hillman. Strava, one of my faves. YouTube, my ultimate favorite. Got a new video in the works. Again, Sid Garza Hillman. Met a bunch of people on this trip. Super, super cool. Met some podcast listeners and YouTube video watchers and had a couple really good talks and a lot of good attendance, which is always a good thing. And it's always kind of a thing where I walk into the room ahead of time to set up and there's just this moment where I go, wouldn't it be funny if just nobody came to this? And then I giggle because it wouldn't be funny at all. But people came and really good crowd, really good questions. This has been a really, really excellent Veg Fest. And I hope I come back. A Health Fest is what they call it. And I hope I come back next year. If you go to SidGarzaHillman.com, you can put your email address in the upper right hand corner and get a free chapter of my book. And you'll get notifications of podcasts and et cetera, et cetera. I don't send out much, you guys, just usually a podcast thing. And if I'll do a blog post now and then, you'll get that kicking out to you as well. You can also donate to the podcast, which is a huge help for me to keep going and help me with the expenses of trips, guess what, like these, where I can go meet people face-to-face and have a really good time. So coming up May 7 and 8, I believe, I can't remember, but I'm speaking at the New York City Veg. I have no notes with me. I'm in a hotel room, literally, okay? So bear with me. But New York City Veg Food Fest, you can go to nycvegfoodfest.com. In my memory, good night. Edinburgh in August. San Francisco in October. I think there's one I'm forgetting, but we'll work that out next week when we come back for normal viewing pleasure. What else to say? Not much. You can get Approaching the Natural podcast merchandise again on the website. Oh my goodness, I'm bored already. Now, back to this interview, okay, you guys? And I will pop back in at the end to say my farewells. But I got a guy on today named Josh LaJohnny. I'm actually doing a run with him tomorrow. He's doing like a group run, and I'm going to be joining him tomorrow. But I heard him a while ago on the Rich Roll podcast, on which I was a guest as well, before Josh was. But I heard him on. He was a real good story and really, really energetic. I don't even want to give much away. He is a guy who really, really, in every respect, and you'll hear us get into this, I don't even want to go too big into this intro, really turned his life around. And I mean, on the most profound level, he is completely, I've talked about identity a lot on this podcast. I've talked about changing your how you identify with yourself, how others identify with you. He's gone through all that. I think there's a lot for people to learn from this, no matter what you do in your life. I think you can get some stuff from his experience and what he's doing, which is nothing short of amazing. It's just what it is. You got to listen to it. I don't want to give much away. So I'm going to jump right into this podcast episode interview right now, and I will jump back in at the end, you guys. Thank you for joining me, and enjoy this interview with Josh LaJohnny. Josh LaJohnny is joining me. I asked him, begged him more likely, really more realistically, to be on the podcast. I thought it'd be fun
I always wanted to talk to you anyway. Now I got you in person, so all the better about
really cool,
that. Man. But yeah, and so you've been on a couple panels,
yeah,
and you're doing the fun run. They call it a fun run, but we know that's always never that fun.
Yeah, it's the hills in Marshall.
Is there a hilly? Is this a hilly thing? I'm doing
hilly.
It tomorrow.
Dude, this is hilly for me. For me, it's hilly. It's hilly.
Okay. Because you're Louisiana.
I'm, yeah.
Born and raised.
Right.
Bayou.
Bayou.
Born and raised.
It's
ever lived
flat.
Anywhere, ever lived anywhere else?
No. I lived closer to New Orleans from Thibodeau at one point in my life, but I've never lived anywhere but south of I-10.
Wow. You know, because I was in Houston for a while, so, you know, the I-10 and
South Louisiana, we really don't even claim the people north of I-10.
Uh-huh.
Like,
that's
like
exist.
Two separate
it's
states.
America.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, it's a little echo in here, so don't worry about it. But if you guys want to see the mental picture, we're basically in a hall with a chandelier.
Yeah, it's
so
beautiful.
I had that installed for this podcast because I was like, only the best for Josh and Johnny.
Ambiance, man.
Yeah, I was like, bring in the crystal chandelier for this bad boy. We're going to lay this down. Some of my listeners might know you because you were on Rich's podcast, and obviously so was I, and I heard you on that, and I was taken by your story. Which I want you to share with my listeners anyway. But what's more interesting to me, because when were you on that podcast?
I was on it twice. The first time was right before my first marathon. So that had been late 2013.
Right. Okay.
And that was the first interview. And then the last interview was last year at Marshall, for HealthFest.
Gotcha. So I didn't hear the second one, I don't think, but I heard the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time that I heard that, you know, I don't know how much you know about what I do, but I'm you know, deep into the long view aspects of behavioral change, learning healthy habits, getting outside the quick fix diet thing.
Yes.
And when I heard you on the podcast the first time, you know, it was such a good story. And I want to tell that story. My wife and I both heard it. But at the same time, in the back of my mind, I at that time thought, I want to talk to this guy in a couple years. Not because I thought you're gonna fail.
Yeah, sure.
I could tell you were on that. You had that kind of thing. You're like, me and Po' Boys, we don't get. We have a love hate.
Right.
We're like done here. You know. And I could hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what's really interesting to me, and I want to get into with you, is the stuff going on in your mind now. I've done entire episodes on the identity change that goes on with this because you think about yourself in a complete. I'm just telling you. I know you do. I don't need to ask.
Yeah,
you think of yourself in a completely different way.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to me because how do you get over that thing, right? So before we get into that, because I do want to get into that, just, you know, briefly tell your upbringing, like what led you to the point. And also what's really interesting to me is, of course, that tipping point where you're just like, no more.
Right.
No more. Okay.
Right.
So give me that little bit of background.
Well, as we just said, I was born and raised in South Louisiana, and that means a lot of things. A few of the things is it means we eat certain things. We eat, we identify with our food, of the food of our culture, you know, roux and stews of everything. We kill all kind of things and we make a roux and some onions and we throw it in a pot and we throw it over rice and we eat it. It doesn't matter if it's egrets or if it's frogs or rabbits or what it is. That's how we roll. It's what we do. And I was, you know, in that lifestyle, full bore, identifying as a Kunas, as a Cajun, doing what we do. Also, I was a football player, so having size and heft was not necessarily frowned upon when it was used and leveraged on the football field with your gang of compadres on Friday night and, you know, under the Friday night lights. So those things, you know, the love of food, the love of preparing food with my grandfather and then identifying as a big guy. So there's two identities going on there. There's the Cajun identity and there's the big man football, ex-football, athletic, has-been kind of identity. And those things combined just really manifested in what you see in my before picture. I ballooned up to, of course, just like most fat people, we go up and down. And I did that throughout my life. I went up and down in weight. But eventually, the ups outweighed the downs, and I found myself at a point where I didn't know how much I weighed until my wife, you know, got a scale that was big enough for me. And I was like, holy cow, I have really done something detrimental. And at the time, I didn't know how much of it I could fix, you know. But I was going back to school as a non-traditional student. I was 29 years old as a freshman. And so I went all through school, you know, using the excuse of I'm busy because I'm a business owner, and I'm also busy a lot, and I have a family that depends on me. And here I am, a full-time student as well, and a new wife, and all of these things combined, is like I don't have time to take care of myself. And not only did I not have time to take care of myself, quote unquote, but I also found myself being pretty self-deprecating quite often. And it just led down this road to really ballooning up. But at that time, what school was also doing for me was teaching me how to be a pragmatist. I was in school for business administration with a specification in entrepreneurship. So I was doing a lot of case studies and doing a lot of researching and doing a lot of things that I had never done previous in my life, reading books and things like that. And so here I am, letting myself balloon up, getting fatter and fatter. Cool things happened. Like I got married while I was in school in 08, and then the Saints win the Super Bowl in 2000 and the fall of 2010, right? And so these things that really sort of shook my idea of what impossible was. My big fat self, not only did I get married, but I got married to a really beautiful, caring asset of a human in a relationship, you know? And so, wow, that happened. I had dreamed of having a partner, right, someone to love all my life, but it's hard to have that significant other when you're a big fat guy all the time, right? And I had someone who picked me even though I was that. And that was really cool. And previously thought of as impossible. Saints win the Super Bowl. Previously thought of as impossible. Right. Here I am, a non-traditional student, now 33 years old, and I'm about to have a degree.
Right.
Also previously thought impossible.
Right.
So what other things are impossible that aren't really impossible?
Right. But I just even want to go back to what's interesting to me is a couple things. One was when you were going up and down with your weight, was there ever a point during that time where you were ever at a healthy weight, or were you sort of less overweight and more of a weight, but still overweight?
Less overweight, more overweight.
Okay, so you never got down to a healthy weight.
No.
And was that, and I don't want to focus, I try to really weight is a side effect of health in my
absolutely.
Opinion.
Absolutely.
But again, what I'm interested in is, were those drives in you to consciously bring your weight down, or was lifestyle just such that you would lose the weight, or were you that whole time saying, okay, I've got to get my thing under control, but then life would take over and you'd gain the weight back? Is that how it was?
Yes.
So you're making conscious efforts.
Yes.
What's that? I want to know what that spark is. So something was in you. Was that from a family, or was that some? So here you are, Louisiana. You got the roux, the kind of that traditional food, but yet there's something in you that was like, I got to get on top of this. Maybe you weren't successful at first, but there was something in you that said, I want to get on top of this. What was that? That's what
the
I
last.
Know.
And it's gonna seem small, but the last thing was, I was a senior and
in
I
high
knew
school.
And the last time that I tried to lose weight. So I'm talking about the beginning of this journey.
No, but I want to know even before then. I want to know.
So it was several different reasons. So it might have been because I wanted to play defensive end.
Okay, got it.
Instead of defensive tackle.
Got it. Okay, so but you were urged to be of a certain size in high school for football, I would imagine.
Right.
So there was never somebody like, man, you got to watch it. They were like, yeah, fine, good. Mm-hmm. And when you were overweight, were you still? I'm imagining because you were playing football, pretty athletic still.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't like you were lethargic or you couldn't move.
No.
You could move. Mm-hmm. But at some point, did it take over in terms of your energy and your ability to perform?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's later, though. That's post-high school.
So that's post-high school.
Okay, so did you go out of high school into college?
Yeah.
And did undergrad?
Yes.
And did you play football in college?
Yes.
You did. Okay, so you're still in the football realm.
Right. But at this point, I've gotten so fat, I'm no longer athletic. I'm not a big athletic guy anymore, because as I got recruited, I got recruited as an offensive lineman instead of a defensive lineman.
Okay.
And I was told by my new offensive line coach, I'd like to see you come into camp about 30 pounds heavier. So I spent all offseason not getting 30 pounds heavier in the gym, but just getting 30 pounds fatter.
Right. So which kind of would be okay in the football realm. You want the momentum.
He didn't specify very much. Yeah. So I got just fat. I was like, shit.
No problem.
All right, Doritos and Sprite, baby.
Yeah, that's the easiest
thing.
Yeah,
that's what I did. But it crushed me, because here I am with this new body that's 30 pounds heavier than I'm used to playing football at, you know, that weight. Not only that, but I'm against, because I was a man amongst boys in high school in a lot of, you know, most situations, I was a man amongst boys in high school. Then I go to the NCAA and it's no longer that way. Everybody's even up now. And now, not only am I heavier, but I'm kind of weaker than all of the other guys. Right.
There was that tipping point. Do you think that was age or just pure weight, really?
I was fat and I was really sad because I was sad. Okay. I was homesick and there was all kind of things going on. Right. Wow. And I just got worse and worse. And I wound up getting injured with the same thing that I'm struggling with right now today. That's a back thing that never really went away.
Gotcha.
But it's just less, it doesn't stop me as much today because I'm not so heavy. But
so,
anyway,
so at one point, yeah. So at some point in the whole, excuse me, high school realm, where it's sort of like football position based, right? I got to lose a little weight here, gain a little weight there.
Or girls, right?
Okay.
Not wanting to be, because everybody's friends with the offensive linemen, but nobody's like lusting after them. And when you're in high school, it's like the opposite sex pretty important.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. So when you, I mean, I hear. So then you get into college and did you go to college with friends that you had from high school?
No, I was all alone because I went on a football scholarship.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So did you have a different, I guess because you were still heavy and still playing football, I guess there must have been a similar sort of jostle Johnny, he's this guy.
Yes.
So that didn't change much between high school and college.
No.
He's just the big.
The big coon ass.
Football player.
Right.
Boom. Done. Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to know when the shift happened, if you remember consciously, where it stopped being about sports and started being about your life. I know that happened.
Right, sure.
Eventually that happened.
Right.
But what was the, you know, you got through college, like you said, you were depressed, and I'm not trying to beg any questions, but I'm always interested in like when somebody finally goes, whoa, and then when they go, okay, I can't do this anymore, now what the hell do I do? And where do I go, and how do I make this real?
Right.
Or do you go up and down with yo-yo dieting for a while and all these kinds of things? So, you graduate from college,
mm-hmm.
still heavy, hadn't hit your peak yet.
Right, no.
So you got your undergrad, you're what, 22?
No. I flunked out of college.
Oh, you never
did? I flunked out at that point when I lost my football scholarship. All right.
And why'd you lose it? Because you...
Because I was just done.
You just didn't have athleticism.
I just didn't want to do it anymore. I was hurting. My doctor, my physician said, if he was my kid, he told my mom, if he was my kid, he wouldn't be playing anymore.
Wow.
And I didn't really put up a fight because I was getting my ass kicked a lot and I was fat and I was having trouble and I was hurting and I just wasn't enjoying it and I was homesick.
How were you doing academically?
All Fs.
Oh, it just was all not happening.
Yeah.
It's just not
happening. I was just in the dumpster, man. Uh-huh. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I came home for a semester back in Thibodeau and all Fs again because now I'd been away for a little while. I was back with all of my friends and it was like party. Woo.
You mean like the community college there?
Yeah, well, there's a university. There's a state university in...
So you enrolled there?
Yeah, in Thibodeau, right. And so I went there just without anything to do with football, just went to school and then just I flunked again. And then on academic probation and then flunked again. And so I was just, and then I just, you know, completely went off, the wheels went off.
Did anybody, and this is there's no judgment here at all, literally,
sure.
But did any family members ever just go like, man, what is going, like, you got to get yourself in check. Like, what was the, because I'm not going to, of course they loved you.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
But because of the culture that you lived in, because of the, even the food, was there a connection between food and your health and your depression and your ability to succeed or not succeed in this case?
Yeah, in retrospect, yes, I think.
But not at the time.
No, not at the time, right.
So nobody said, Josh, man, we got to sit you down.
No.
You've got to get your life under control.
I mean, of course, I got the wagging of the finger from the dad, from my dad, like maybe once, which we have
failing.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
We have an awkward relationship, but
yeah.
My dad was like, you got to get your shit together. You know,
but he didn't say eat better.
No, there was
he
no
was just
right.
Like,
yeah,
exactly.
It's just get your shit together in general.
Yeah, yeah. Probably actually not.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, has like, nothing to
food
do.
Food is the only thing you're doing right.
He was not talking about meditation and a vegan diet for sure. I can assure you.
And so, okay, so you finished college, so to speak.
Yeah, flunked out.
Right, but now you butt up, but you got into a business.
Right, right. But it's a family business. It's okay. My grandfather. Gotcha. So I went right into, first of all, I dabbled in bartending, and then right after my failed attempt at college, so I go into bartending, and that's a great lifestyle. Sure. And then kind of flirt with, other chemicals besides alcohol, and you do that whole lifestyle for a while, and got another finger wagging of the, you better get your shit together, and it's like.
Plus, those other kind of chemicals, they always help you not eat.
Right, and I did lose some weight.
Well,
that's one of the downs, because after that, I was hurt. I was not playing football anymore, so there's no reason for me to be the big guy. Now I want to be the party guy who gets some girls, maybe. Let's do that. And right. So I'm partying, and I was losing weight, and I was actually getting flack from some of the older ladies at the restaurant that I worked with, because I was, you're losing too much weight,
oh,
baby.
Wow.
You don't look like you, and all of that stuff, right? So so it's just, that was one of the down cycles, right?
Okay. But never do a healthy weight.
Never.
And of course, because you weren't being healthy.
Never lost.
So, but not even a healthy weight, but certainly not a healthy body.
That's exactly right. And even the times that I was losing weight, it was for superficial reasons. Uh-huh. And then the only reasons I would lose weight is because, Zenadrin's on the market with ephedra. That's how I lose weight. Or other things, as I'm bartending and learning about. And that's how I would lose weight,
Were your buddies still really around at this point when you're bartending?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You're still... So
all
now
my
you're
whole high school, I'm back
so
in the
old
clique.
Yep. Josh LaJohnny.
Yep, no football
same,
player, but
same,
now I'm
but
just...
the same dude.
I'm the cooking.
They know you the way they feel comfortable knowing you.
Right, exactly. Right. And all my friends were culinary students, because Nichols has a culinary program. And John Falls Culinary Institute at Nichols State University. And a bunch of my friends at the restaurant that I work with were in that culinary institute. And so cooking and showing off how good you can make something taste was like part of our thing. And everybody was cooking something. We were doing lamb chops, or everybody was doing something, and we'd all get around and get wasted and eat great food that all the kitchen people would make. It was just what we did.
And when you think about that time, I'm assuming it wasn't like all miserable.
No, I had
you having fun.
I had a blast, but there's a small voice, just like any, when you're really going, when the pendulum has swung way far, there's a small voice before you actually do anything. It's like, kind of too much. Yeah, kind of too far, buddy.
Just for my listeners to understand the breadth. I mean, when you actually did weigh yourself, you were pushing what?
I was.
What's the heaviest you think you were?
I was 420. I think it's pretty
safe
to say. And
you're about my height? What are we about? 6'1"?
Yeah, I'm about 6'3 and a half.
Oh, you're
so
tall?
Yeah,
you're taller
yeah,
than
yeah.
I am?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so the, I was 397 when was the weight I saw when I finally got a scale. But I had been into this thing for weeks, right? And in subsequent months, I had lost at least 20 pounds a month. So I know that I was, I was massive, and the weight wanted to come off so bad. You do some little stuff, and the weight's just flying off,
What were you doing?
I was just going to the gym and just doing, just
not
like
even
I
dietary,
played football.
Just moving around.
I was moving around and just paying attention, doing the normal stuff where eat a salad every now and then, and
Why?
Then go to the gym,
What did you have information-wise that would lead you to that conclusion?
Just in the past, just trying to do the normal diet routine of eat less calories. Salads are supposed to be healthy, they say.
Okay.
So that's what you
do.
So
you just had like a cursory knowledge. You just were like, understands.
Just sort of the
sense.
Same thing that any general human in society would say, the quote unquote eat healthier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
was there any, like, we were talking to, you and I were both talking to Garth.
Right.
Davis out there about the whole protein thing.
Sure.
Was that ever a thing? I'm sure it must have been because of the football. But even then, as you were transitioning, was that on your brain of like, got to make protein?
Got to get protein.
Yeah.
Got to.
Yeah. So you were still doing the other stuff, but
right.
you were
but
starting
my,
to bring in some salads.
My focus was
the weightlifting.
Weightlifting. 3 sets of 10. Get really strong. I want to get back. I want to bench 400 pounds. I want to do all of these things. I want to,
And did you?
Yeah, I was getting a lot stronger. I was losing weight by virtue of that. And I started, and then the weight started to slow down. The weight loss started to slow down. So then I would change stuff. I would, instead of doing 3 sets of 10 with rest in between, where we'd go to the water fountain and kind of shoot the shit, instead of doing that, we started doing circuit training. So we'd do 2 exercises.
I'd do more aerobic,
this one and then do this one. Yeah, yeah. And then do this one. Yeah. And then so it, that's really where it started. And then when that started to get old, that's where the new education, because by the time in this current story, by the time I had gone to the gym and started trying to lose weight, I was more open to researching and trying to find facts about the thing I wanted to achieve, right?
I mean, I think, so there's a ton of people in situations where culture dictates their sort of actions or behaviors. They, you know, it's not like at 5 years old you said, I'm going to eat this way. It's like you're fed. We're all fed at 5.
We're fed.
It becomes our thing. It becomes what we do. Mm-hmm. But it's solely fascinating to me just in terms of you're an anomaly. Let's face it. I mean, at least in certain areas in this country.
And honestly, I think I'm coming to the conclusion that I might be an anomaly, but I don't want to accept it because I think everybody has the capacity
to do it. Of course, we absolutely do.
And it's like, I don't want to be an anomaly. I want everybody to come with me, hop on this train, buddy. It's awesome.
But that's why I want to get to the thinking in you, because I think it is in everybody. Yeah. I mean, I've talked about the podcast 1,000 times. I mean, everybody believe has the power to make themselves healthy, and this is not a weight issue at all.
No,
I think everybody has the power to do things, some little things in their lives to make them healthier and happier.
Little's operative word,
right? And it's on the small step guy, right?
Exactly.
So that's what I'm talking about. But it all does start with this kind of switch in the brain, where some little spark in the brain, and I always say, get to know that before you even take act one.
Right.
You know, get to maybe have a moment where you have a where you realize this isn't for me, or what I always say in the podcast, this isn't me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not this overweight guy. I've happened to be 400 pounds, but I'm not this guy.
Right.
Did you have a, I mean, I know it's so, it's like, I don't want to get like beg the thing. Like, did you have that moment? But was there a thing where you're just like, man,
right.
Let me just put a time thing on the weightlifting.
Sure.
It wasn't 3 weeks that you're talking about.
Right.
How long was it? Year?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Okay, so how are you getting even to the gym? How are you having the discipline from going to
partner,
doing
nothing? Right.
What?
Partnered up. Accountability.
The social aspect of it.
And like, we'll make fun of each other if you don't show up.
And he's a good buddy of yours?
Yeah. Yeah. Went to kindergarten with this guy. And
he didn't have any, was he overweight too?
No, funny story about him, he was fat in kindergarten. And then he's like, one day, he told his grandmother, I don't want to wear husky pants anymore. I'm gonna not be fat. Seriously,
no,
as a kid.
Oh my God.
And he became really thin, and it's like, holy crap. Like, he just changed himself as a baby. Like, as a kid. That's it's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
So anyhow, he contacted me one day and said, man, I'm getting fat, which he was not getting fat. He was just heavier than he wanted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, I need a partner. I'm gonna join the gym in the morning. You interested? And I was like, yeah.
Like,
hell yeah.
The next morning.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And
I'll join
yes.
this afternoon. So I went and joined that afternoon.
Oh my God.
That afternoon.
I mean,
that afternoon.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So what if that hadn't happened, you know? You look back and you go, that guy got this.
I tell him
going.
That all the time.
Holy crap.
It brings me to tears. Like,
yeah, yeah,
I love
yeah.
him.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
I tell him that
Life,
all
literally
the time.
A lifesaver.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah. And it's not, I'm not still hanging on that thing. Right, so it's like getting back to that spark. Don't wait for the perfect spark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's however small or insignificant
and
a
then
spark
get to the next thing. And
right,
then
it's a
get
symphony
to the next
of sparks
thing.
that will just like Campbell says about, you know, nutrition. It's a symphony of sparks that happen, because one spark tends to lead to another spark, tends to lead to another spark,
right.
And I'm still having sparks that spark me forward all the time,
right.
Every day,
right,
and keep me grinding forward. You know,
right. That's so cool. So this guy, and you're still in touch with him?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. That was Miyoko Shinner. You know her, she's got all the cheese.
Yeah, well, I heard about her this morning in Khan's and Dr.
Everyone
Khan's
goes crazy on her cheese.
Yeah.
She just came and looked around.
Yeah.
Saw us came and turned back around. Anyway, okay, so back to this. So how much are you working these days? Not these days, but back then when that started to happen. I mean, are you working a lot of hours?
Yeah.
It's family business. Are you putting in a lot of hours? Not so much. You have freedom to go to the gym? Are you getting up
freedom.
At 5 a.m.?
Right. I have freedom. I'm at the gym at 4:35 a.m.
Are you kidding?
Right, yeah.
Why? Because you had to do that before work?
Because I had to get it
in. And you had
in.
The discipline to do that for a long period of time?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because you had a buddy who was going to kick you in the ass.
Right, we would make fun of each other. Right, exactly.
Yeah. Did you ever miss days and just be like, I cannot get up today?
Hardly ever. It was, hardly ever.
So because one of the things, I talked about this, wrote an entire chapter in my book about the social network that is, I believe, inherent to our species, that we have this social thing that we sort of get away from when we make these battles sometimes by ourselves. And I think it's perceived maybe as this kind of weakness to need help, but I think it's actually the strongest thing in the world to say, I need help. I have a hard time asking for help even to this day. Mm-hmm. And so for me personally, it's always hard for me to not only ask for help, but to receive help, get help, accept help is what I'm saying. Was that an issue for you at all, or in that sense? Or were you just like, yeah, man? Or did you even see it as help? Or did you see it as
really
a buddy going,
let's say, right?
Because he didn't do it that way. He did it the perfect way, which was, I'm not going to help you, but hey, do you want to do this with me?
That's exactly right.
So cool.
That's exactly
so
right.
So cool. So so now you're working for your family's business. What is it?
We have rental property, mostly just a big mobile home park.
Okay.
And so, that's what my grandfather,
okay, so you're doing that. So it's not like you, but see, I think the excuse sometimes is like, oh, I can't have time, but you're getting up at 4:35.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing it.
I get up earlier now. But
really?
Yeah.
And then were you still partying at night?
No.
How come?
I was married now.
This is back. Now you're in school by the time this happens.
Right.
So are you in school and working?
Yes.
And doing the weights?
Yes.
Triple threat?
Yes.
And having a relationship?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, if you look back.
And dealing with
a family
business.
But it probably wasn't like you probably didn't sit down and go, oh my God. You were probably just like, okay, I'm doing this now.
Yeah.
Right?
I was all of the, oh my God, look at this. And pointing out all of the things all the plates I had spinning.
Uh-huh.
Pointing them out and then going, see, I have all the reason in the world to take care of me and kick my feet up and have a glass of scotch and eat a steak all of these things. I deserve it.
Because you're doing all these things.
Right.
So at this point, then what I'm hearing is that you hadn't gotten even really into the concept of food as you hadn't dove big time into the food yet.
No.
So at this time, you're like, look at all this shit that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be this is probably the first time I've ever sworn in this podcast. 133 episodes. I'm not kidding. What you did to me? See what happens? You freaking Louisianans.
Dude, yeah. Telling you, hang around me long enough.
You're bringing me down. God, I used to hit a crawdad. And so it's fascinating to me because it's like, okay, so then you start reading, but why? Could you hit a plateau where you're going like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere?
That's exactly right. Because what I learned since then is, okay, when you're 400 pounds, your default calorie burn in a given day is huge.
Right.
And when you tack on just say 600 or 800 calories of burning calories at the gym, and you remove a couple hundred calories from eating more healthily, whether that during the week, because during the week I was on, during the weekend, free for all. So you lose weight like crazy. But when you get down to say 350, that default calorie burn also drops.
Right.
And doing the same thing that you did from 400 to 350 isn't going to get you anywhere anymore.
Okay. And then you have life limitations of like, well, but you don't have time to spend an extra 2 hours at the gym.
Right.
So then you got to figure out, what's my next nut?
Food.
See? Because that's the thing. Because there's no room for it.
Right. What am I doing? I'm doing all this protein. I take all these protein powders because you need protein to build muscle. You need to build muscle to burn fat.
Right.
Right? So that's the thinking at that time.
Yeah.
So I'm doing all these delicious protein shakes. Before
like
I go to the gym.
Whey protein
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whey protein.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm doing, because I'm a giant guy, so obviously I need more than just one scoop, right? So, So I'm doing all of these things, and it's working when I'm big, but then it starts to slow down. And I'm like, well, what else is, what's...
Did you think about more exercise at that time? Did you go, well, maybe I'll talk to my family and see if I could... Okay. Well, but I mean, you have a time constraint.
Right. Well,
you can't spend 4 hours. How long were you spending in the gym anyway? You get up at five. Five to what?
I'd spend maybe an hour.
So an hour.
Yeah.
And then you go to work pretty early, seven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you can't necessarily say I got to do an extra hour because you may not have an extra hour.
No, but
especially if you have a relationship at school and everything else.
Right. Well, that's where the research starts to come in. It's like, what else could I do instead of? Because sitting and doing three sets of 10 on each exercise takes time.
Yes.
right? So what else could I do? So speed it up, burn more calories in the same amount of time.
So it was like an efficiency
more
exercise.
Get more working, right?
You're like, okay, how do I get
and
more efficient?
So that's where long endurance, I had read, I think it was a Runner's World article about long endurance, long endurance type exercise where low heart rate, get in a more of
fat burn
situation, and running is perfect. And I'm like running.
Yeah, because you had back issues.
And
you're
I
still
hated
350.
It. Yeah, I was like, and at the time, well, yeah, I just arbitrarily said 350 but I was 380 when I first started to just kind of, I call it jiggle jog. I would just jiggle jog down the street from the gym. I would do my weight workout, and then for the last, say, 15 minutes, I would go run maybe half a mile in 15 minutes and run. You know, I was, it was just get to the light pole, get to the telephone pole, and then walk, and then get to the next telephone pole, and then jog. And that's how I would do, and then come back. And I would finish my weight. That's how it started. I would finish my weight workouts with a cardio, with something, elliptical, whatever, something.
I'm just curious to know what it's like. Because, I mean, I've been 30 pounds heavier than I am now.
Right, right, right.
Never been 200 pounds heavier than I am
now.
What was it like to move that mass for a half mile?
It's
hard. Was it strain of like, oh my God, I cannot. I mean, did it feel that way? Like every step kind of thing?
Yeah, buddy.
Did it ache?
It hurt.
It did? Like in knees and things?
Yeah, my feet, my knees, my boobs. I would not only, so not only the physical parts of running that heavy, like, so, yes, it hurt my back, everything. It was just, I would get to the point where I couldn't pick my feet up high enough, and sometimes I would trip and fall.
Oh, my God.
But the more embarrassing things is you're flappy. It sounds like somebody's clapping because your tits are bouncing on your chest, and your belly is slapping against your legs. Your ass is slapping together.
Right.
It's embarrassing.
Right.
And
did
so
your buddy run with you, or was that something you took on yourself?
Yeah, well, he would basically walk beside me as I tried to run.
Right.
So that's how slow of a, I would do like a 16-minute pace.
And I, just to get a sense of your friend, like, would he give you crap? For fun?
No.
Or was he like, hey, good job?
Yeah.
Or was he just
was
out there
always,
with you?
He was out
well, you
there
said
with
you would make fun of each other. So
yeah,
I didn't know
no.
Like,
that
oh,
was
come
if,
on.
As long as I was getting it,
he didn't make fun of you.
Nah.
Got it.
It was skipping would be make fun of people time.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. And then, but I was always trying to do better. So what we eventually started to do was go, because I got to a point where I could get 2 miles in.
Wow.
Right.
How long did that take?
It probably took a few months, I would
before
say.
You get to 2 miles.
Before I could get to 2 miles.
And you're just plugging
and
away.
And then it was like, yeah, it was just plugging away because I got.
And why are you plugging away? I mean, it blows my mind. I mean, had you had it? I mean, just in your brain, had you had it?
I was
like, no.
I was.
No,
yeah.
No.
And because by this time, when Jeff called me and wanted me to go to the gym, I was already scared because I had a big presentation to do for my 490 class.
Okay.
All right. So I knew at the end of the semester, because I had been seeing others. The class ahead of me, they dressed in suits with ties and speaking in front of an entire auditorium full of people doing a full business presentation. And I'm like, dude, I'm 10 years older than all of these people, and I'm like 200 pounds heavier. I'm gonna have big sweaty pits, and a big fat neck full of, like, I mean, I have a, you know, my dress shirt is going to be tight around my neck.
Sure.
I'm going to be so uncomfortable. So I didn't want to do that. And I knew I had some months before I got there. So when I got to the gym with Jeff, it was, we were
motivation.
Working towards
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I
went,
and
yeah.
by the end of that year, I had lost 60 pounds.
Wow.
I graduated in December.
Wow.
So from February to December, I had lost 60 pounds. And so towards the end, it got to be more and more of this running stuff that we were doing. And I was just trying to get faster. I was going, it was the same 2 miles. I was like, can we do those 2 miles in under, no, it, I'm lying. It wasn't 2 miles. It was 1 mile. It was out the door to the gym, down the street to the high school where I played football. One loop around the track and back was 1 mile. And I kept trying to get that 1 mile in under 15 minutes.
Every day.
Just kept going. That's how we would punctuate our workouts all the time. That's what we would do. And Jeff would sprint with me for the last 50 meters or so.
Right.
You know,
awesome.
Yeah. And I could get him. I could hang with him in a sprint. But, man, you go a little longer.
Yeah. And then how long did it take you to get the 15?
It didn't take long. I started being able to regularly get under the 15 probably after just a, a couple weeks of trying.
And you just kept, right, okay, yeah. And you just kept it at a mile for a while.
And just kept it at that mile. That was just my mile. And again, it starts to stagnate and things like, okay, now that was good. It worked while it was new.
Yeah.
And now it's starting to be like, eh.
Well, your body adjusts to it.
Right,
and exactly. Then you got to kind of change things up
right.
A little
That's
bit.
Exactly
right. Okay,
right.
So what happens when you, so at this point, when do you start researching other options in terms of food?
Well, that happened when I started really adopting running. I started, because see, I'm a lover of the city of New Orleans. I absolutely love New Orleans. I love the Saints. Me and my wife had our wedding in New Orleans. We have an apartment in New Orleans. I'm just infatuated with the city. And I had always heard about the Crescent City Classic, this big race in New Orleans. And so eventually, before graduation, I had actually gotten up where I didn't run the whole thing, but me and Jeff had gotten to where I could go almost 4 miles. Right. And I was like, I told Jeff, I was like, I think in the spring I can do the Crescent City Classic.
How long was it?
10K.
Okay.
10K. So 6 miles.
Yeah.
Right? And he was like, dude, I'm with you. Let's do it. Let's do it. So that's what happened. So that's the beginning of me changing my food, was that first race, because then I fell in love with getting better.
Right.
And that's what racing gave me, was like these tangible things, yes. These times, yeah. Yeah. These,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, and I went through a whole year floundering around trying to run better, right? Without really fixing my food. It was still pole boy and beers on the weekend. I was still losing weight,
yeah, yeah,
but
right.
The weight was slowing down,
yeah.
And it was taking more and more effort for me to keep losing weight.
Yeah.
And so the weekends was a free for all of, you know, Jameson on the rocks and tons of Budweiser and tons of, you know, pole boys and fancy restaurants and, you know, all of these things, sauces,
yeah.
Butter.
But during the week.
Right. But during the week I was good. Good. Like, you know, just
better.
Better.
Anyway.
Better,
yeah. More mind, right? More paid attention.
And so so I did the first Crescent City Classic, and then I did that whole year of kind of floundering around, trying to get better. I was demoralized because it took me like 1 hour and 43 minutes to finish a 10K. But I was 320 by that next spring.
Amazed.
Right? So when I got across the finish line in that first one, my wife's there. And my wife wasn't on board with any of this weight loss stuff really at that point either. She was just kind of like, it's gonna pass just like everything else. And it was starting to stick. She could see it. And she saw how bummed I was that it, because I really wanted to do it in under 90 minutes. And I didn't get it done in under 90 minutes. So she knew I was disappointed. And she jumped on board at that moment while we were eating after that first race. She was like, I tell you what, let's do it in under an hour next year. And I'm with you. Let's do it. So she, through that summer, she got on her own grind. And she went to like this boot camp workout place and started. Nice. She started doing her thing and I started doing mine. And, you know, long story short, we got that 2000. And so that was 2012 was my first one. And in 2013, I got it done in 59, 56 with my wife right beside me. It makes me want to cry. Right now, I mean, it's powerful,
yeah.
And this what running is so important to me, you know. And so that was really, really cool. But the cool thing was, at that point in time, is where I started to read a book called Born to Run.
Yeah, read it.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And I learned about Scott Jurek and ultra marathons in that book.
Ah, and so I was there's like, your plans.
Right, because I'm like, I think at
I was
this
wondering
point,
where the source
I'm
was.
I'm sub 1 hour in a 10K. I'm like.
Yeah.
What else
Golden.
Can I do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Done. I'm a runner. I'm a badass.
Right.
And so I read about Scott Jurek in 100-mile races in Western states and Badwater, and I'm like,
oh, yeah, yeah. I had the same reaction.
God.
I was like, what? Over 26 miles?
And it was like,
on what planet?
Yeah. And he's a vegan? So,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at that time, I'm like, imagine how good he would be if he ate some protein.
Right, you know right, 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 right.
So anyway, so I drilled down because I was intrigued. I was like, oh, this is real interesting. So I drilled down, and by this time I had graduated and I had more reading time.
Right.
I didn't have, wasn't spent
Sorry.
With,
yeah.
I wasn't so logged, bogged down with projects
yeah,
and
yeah.
stuff. And so I read Born to Run, and then I read Scott Jurek's book, Eat and Run.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I was like, this is really cool. So slowly but surely, I was like, I'm not giving up. You know, everybody has their things. I'm not giving up X, you
yeah,
know?
Sure.
And so I would do that, and I was more mindful. Then I read Rich Roll's book.
Right.
And I didn't know that he was a plant-based guy at all,
like
right?
The story, yeah.
I was Googling more about this ultra marathon and stuff, and I found Finding Ultra.
Yep, got it.
Right? So I read it, and then boom, lo and behold, halfway, like a third of the way through the book, he flipped the whole script, yeah, and I was man. And I identify with that because he was a like failed college athlete who went off the deep end with substance abuse, right? And put on weight as he was successful in life, kind of, able to afford fancy stuff and living, and I can eat whatever I want whenever I want it. Like that was a, and I was like, okay. So I read that, and then around that time, I don't remember the exact timeline. But to back up for a second, for that Crescent City Classic, we decided to go to eat clean.
You and your wife.
Me and my wife.
And what about Jeff? Where's he on this picture now?
Jeff had kind of fallen out of the picture by that point. Jeff was having his first kid at that time. He was building a career. Yep, he had he switched careers, and that's a amazing story in itself, but he switched careers and he's doing really great now as a real estate broker. So, but anyway, so after Mardi Gras, so before that sub 1 hour Crescent City Classic, after Mardi Gras, we did, instead of doing something for Lent, what me and my wife did, we did 40 days of eating clean. And so it was all grass-fed stuff organic chicken and things like that.
Yeah.
Felt amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did great in the race, and we got our goal time, we did all of that.
So you started seeing that. Oh,
right. And so, but at the time while I'm eating clean, I'm learning about Scott Jurek. I'm learning about Rich Roll. Then I watch Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead and Forks Over Knives. Right. And it's like I can't ignore this.
Yeah.
This is the answers. This is
the next thing that you were looking for.
Right. And so I was always moving towards the next thing.
Right.
And so I struggled with juicing and tried to do the juice fast and and I did all, but I was trying. I was moving forward. I was moving. And then but eventually I told my wife, I was like, I'm just gonna just go full plant-based. She's like, well, I'm not giving up cheese. It's just that simple. I'm not giving up cheese. And I was like, okay, dude, that's cool.
Yeah.
And so we did it that way for a while. But I'm telling you, when I decided to do it, I was done. But it wasn't because I'm some special person. Yeah. It's because I had been change practicing.
Well, yeah, I mean,
all of this time.
See, people go like, overnight, you just flipped the switch. Like, no, it was literally years in the making. And I mean, that's why I wanted to back up with you, because it's like people don't, they kind of look at, sometimes there's stories out there, and it's like, even Rich's story, it's like, there was struggle there. I think he lays it out pretty well in the book. But it's not a month, not 2 months.
No,
it's freaking 15 years.
Right.
It's like abuse after abuse after abuse, and then that little switch like when your back goes out, the doctor always goes, it's not the injury you just did, it's probably been a year
two or three,
yeah. Yeah. And then that's finally the tipping point, right? That's what I want to get to. But I wanted to ask you about if you have any memories of like identity. I mean, you're still in your hometown. So when you do the sub hour 10K, how heavy do you think you are at this point?
I was probably still 280, in between 280 and 250.
So you're still
maybe
a big guy.
Still a big guy.
Yeah, but did your what were your friends going like? Did you ever suffer any
flack?
I was talking about on the podcast, like when we make changes about our own health and even happiness, when we start to make new avenues in our lives, sometimes that makes other people in our lives a little disoriented because we're part of their normal. We're part of what they can rely on. And then when we change, it messes up their sort of worldview, just like it does for us if somebody else does something different, right?
There's a whole group of people that were left behind by me.
Yeah,
and that's hard to do in a life, right?
Right, but did you leave them behind, or they just didn't want any part of you?
It just
kind of
happened organically, right?
Oh, fine. But did you start seeing in your mind yourself as a healthy person at this point at all? Did you, at 280, were you like, I'm taking this all the way to the mat? Any consciously? Or were you just like, no, I'm just going to keep doing it. Just going to keep doing it.
Just keep grinding. Just keep working. Keep running. I want to be a better runner.
Good. Great. So it wasn't like never on the BMI chart. It was like, I just want to be a better runner.
I want to be a better runner.
And I feel good.
I know that means lighter. I know that means stronger.
All the things that ancillary. See, I love the secondary effects of things, right? Instead of weight loss, it's like, That's a side effect. But here's what I want to do. Did you enjoy running at that point?
Yeah, it hurt, but
it did. That's what I was wondering. So did it get ever? What at what point at 280 you were still hurting?
Yeah,
but not nearly as much. I mean, you lost 100 pounds.
Well, it yeah, because I'm going faster. So even though I'm losing weight, because it's still, I think the Crescent City Classic last weekend hurt me just as bad as the very first one I did.
Oh, yeah. Because you're burning it up.
That's exactly right.
What did you do last weekend?
41.
So you're sub 7.
Oh, yeah. I was
Holy
at
crap.
6:30 pace or so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And I want to get under 40. That was, and so I was bummed about not getting under 40. And my wife is like, with a crooked face, looking, Josh, really? Just
wow,
you do
so,
great.
So while I do want to stress the long term process that this was, at the same time, there is a certain meteoric rise from the point in 2012-13 to now where you're doing sub 7 10Ks.
Right.
I mean, holy crap. I mean, at some point you started burning it up on the pacing.
Yeah.
So when the sub hour was
I could tell you that point too, yeah.
Okay, so the sub hour was 2013.
That's right.
So 3 years later, you're doing sub 7.
Right.
Oh, my God. I mean, you must have...
I did 41 last year too.
So in 2 years. 2 years, you did a sub 7. Oh, my God. That is shocking. How many steroids? A lot or half? Like
yeah,
half?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I'm doing performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, uh-oh. This is not the podcast I had hoped for.
All broccoli, bro.
Snorting broccoli.
Yeah.
Wow. So tell me what you were just going to tell me.
Well,
how that?
Back to the love of New Orleans.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at run groups in the city, right?
And how outside of New Orleans is Thibodeau?
About 50 miles.
So you would make it in quite often?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No
we
problem.
We have an internet. I live really close to 90, which is connected to 310, which is connected to I-10. So it's just like a real quick run into the city and back. It's really not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at run groups, and I saw this Louisiana Running Company, which is a shoe store in town. Actually, a friend of mine had said, hey, you're doing some running. Blah, blah, blah. I know a shoe store, they're great. They do, they'll do video gate analysis and look at your shoes and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, sounds interesting. So I looked them up and they had a running group associated with them. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go over there and check them out. And just so happens the proprietor, the guy that owns the store is like one of the fastest. He's always one of the first locals behind the Kenyans that runs the Crescent City Classic in the city. Right. So I go to his store and I run in his run group and he's like, and he's very inviting, very cool guy. So I love, that's another thing I love about running. I switch from hunters as my inner circle of friends to, I still love all those guys, but just this, the matter of the life is, we don't have much in common anymore. My running friends are so, I have a nucleus of those.
Yeah,
and they're so warm and inviting and want you to get better at it if you want to get better at it. And all
that's why I love ultra running. Right. I feel like it hasn't been tainted
and
by corporate.
Yeah, ultra running is another level of nicer.
It's like,
because the fast road runners can be a little gristly.
Exactly.
And
so ultra running hasn't been tainted yet. Right. It's like the same experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so this guy, Patrick, I went to the run group and he said, because I was asking about pace, I was worried. And he's like, what do you do pace-wise, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, about 10-minute miles. And he didn't say anything untoward to me, but I could tell by his expression that was extremely slow. So he's like, oh, you'll be great, man. You'll be fine. So I was like, all right. So I get out, and, you know, the run group's finally off. And by about a mile into the group run, I couldn't see anybody anymore. I was completely alone. Everybody was like gone. And I was like, whoa, I need to get faster. I want to be part of these guys' clique.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think they're cool and I like them.
Yeah.
And I want to hang out with them.
Yeah.
And but I don't want to be you're slow as hell, but you know, this guy lost a lot of weight.
Yeah,
I don't want to be one of the guys. Right, I just want to be fast just like y'all. I want to be chasing the thing.
I want to
be chasing the thing just like y'all.
Yeah.
So that's where the pacing started to come into play. It's running with that Louisiana Run Company run group. And so that's where I first started wanting to be faster. And that's where, between the 2013 finish and the 2014 finish, that's where I I really started to pick it up and started to have aspirations for half marathon.
Got it.
Marathon.
Well, now you got the bug.
Right. Yeah. And then
and you're feeling better.
Right. And then late 2013, I was running I was training for my first full, which was going to be in the spring of 14. So as I'm training for that, I'm listening to Rich Roll podcast. I heard Garth Davis on my first 13-mile run. I heard him. I was like, I love this stuff. These guys are awesome. Everything is like lights are going off the hole. It's like, this makes so much sense.
Right.
And like, I'm in, baby. Just like I'm in with running, I'm in with plants too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm in. Let's do it. So I'm training all this through 2013.
Right.
And then I run my first half marathon, my first race half marathon in the Jazz Half in New Orleans, okay. Jazz Half Marathon. And I did it in like 2:15, something like that. I was excited.
Yeah, yeah.
I was so happy.
Yeah.
So then I was like, I think I could go under 2 hours. So in November, I run a local one in Thibodaux in Houma, and I did it in 1:58.
Unbelievable.
And I was like, yes. And so that was the first time in my whole journey that I had done a side by side, like a before and an after.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And because I saw myself in the little race photos that I got emailed to me after the race, I was like, whoa, I look like an athlete.
Yeah, yeah.
This
oh my
is,
God.
So there's this is amazing.
So I mean, you're actually conscious now of,
I'm
of an
a
identity.
Runner.
Yeah. So I guess what happens is you find something you love. And you're doing it. And secondary to that is the idea. It's like you did the work first. I'm totally begging this because in the podcast, I always talk about, you know, I just did an episode, make your work, like create the work for you. Don't worry about, you know, positive thinking. You know, picture yourself as a thin person. Could you have pictured yourself as a thin person? No, of course not, because you didn't have that, right?
No.
But you can start doing the things of a thin person. You
right.
can start taking care of yourself,
right.
or not even a thin person, but a healthy
yeah,
person.
Yeah.
And then the identification comes secondary, it comes in tow.
Right.
So you didn't need to have this thing where you went, I need to be able to visualize myself as a healthy person. You
Everybody wants to build an outline before they get started. No.
Yeah,
Move,
don't. Do, right. Just start with A, and then B will come.
Even
and
if it's
come.
Wrong, do.
Yeah, yeah, good. I'm so happy you said that. I can not agree with you more. Because you never know if you wait on A because you might want to do B. I'm not sure which to do. Just freaking do it, because you never know what the other thing was going to be. It could have been worse. Could have been better. Who knows?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you did it. You
yeah.
did it.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have gotten to C without getting to B
and
without the A.
That's it.
So you did that. And the identification changes. That was the first time I heard in this whole story where you were like, I looked at that picture and I thought, I'm an athlete. I'm
and
that
and
guy.
What was really profound, what really hit me was, because I had been listening to a guy who wrote a book that was very that was huge to me and helped my change. And then I found out he had a podcast. First podcast I'd ever listened to in my life, and I'm listening to his podcast as I'm before
doing
I'm
these things.
Before
yeah, yeah.
I see that picture,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then when I finally see that picture, and I put it side by side with my wedding, with one of my wedding photos with Jeff's wife, not my wife. Everybody assumes like the it's like what happened? You got a different wife? It's like that's not my wife. So anyway, I put a side by side, and I was like, whoa, that's the first time I had done that.
Because really
that's the first time I saw the difference. And so what I did was I tweeted that picture to Rich Roll just saying, you
Help
made me.
Me
believe this was possible. And I get emotional just
yeah, yeah.
thinking about
yeah.
it. So and he like screenshotted my picture and put it on his Facebook page. And he said it just went
Yeah,
it
yeah,
just
yeah,
blew
yeah,
up
yeah.
his Facebook page,
Crazy.
And he had me on his podcast. I was
yeah,
like, the podcast I've been listening to
yeah, 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 yeah.
through
that's
this whole
nuts.
Transition.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
and
nuts.
I'm a guest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
This is
Crazy. What episode were you on? I was on 21.
I was
or
like
60, or
60
oh, so you were much later
something.
Than
yeah,
okay,
right.
Gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah,
yeah mind blow, right?
Yeah. And I was like, holy crap. And then all of this attention. And so, and Rich says it all the time. He's like my big brother. Like, I've
yeah.
always been the big brother, right? And I've never had big brother type figure. Like, I've always looked for that role. And,
yeah.
you know, Rich Roll is just a stranger from California
yeah,
who
yeah.
winds up filling that role perfectly for
right.
me. And it's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but he always says that you had the spark. Yeah. I'm fanning the flame because it needs to grow that flame. You should, because before I spoke to Rich, I was just, this is my life. This is my thing. This is my grind. No, I wasn't like, hey, look, and hey, this is what you could do. And I wasn't doing it. And he's like, you need to do that.
Yeah. I mean, in a million years, would you 5 years ago, I thought you'd be sitting even right here at a health fest. I mean, just mind blowing, right?
It's hard to even think.
But here's my question to you. Did it take long enough in your transition?
Right.
Did it take long enough such that right now you sitting here, you're not like, oh my God, you're more like,
makes sense. It's me now. This is what I do.
I hope my listeners, I hope you guys out there, because you're listening to me every week, most of you, hopefully, are listening to this. This takes time. I mean, this is a 3, 4, 5 years. It's five years. I'm telling people in my own just practice with individuals, you know, whatever you start now, you should have your mind on the next few years, not 3 months. This never happens that way. It never happens that way. When you talk about people who lose a lot of weight, even, and not even as much as you did, which is astonishing, but even 50 pounds, which is still a ton of weight, but obviously not 300 pounds or whatever, or 200 pounds, it's over a couple of years. It's never that fast. And even if it were that fast, that means it's not going to last.
You did it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. If it's so fast, you're not going to be comfortable with it when you get there, because it ain't new yet. Yeah. This is normal for you. Of course it makes sense.
Right.
I don't care about your weight now, but I mean, you're fit. How long did it take your body physically to sort of readjust to that much less size?
I think it's still adjusting.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
I think it's still adjusting.
And do you still, at any level, battle with the old identity of you, or even with food? Like, are you around food and you're just like,
no, right? it doesn't hold sway.
Nothing.
Like,
really?
It's more of the social part of the food that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Like when you're at a friend, I'm at someone's house and I've known them forever and we've boiled crawfish together a zillion billion times. And it's awkward to not be bellying up to the table eating crawfish.
Right.
It's not that I really miss eating crawfish per se. It's more about
everything around it.
Right.
Totally get it.
You get it?
Yeah. I mean, that's the nostalgia. That's the tradition ritual we have around food.
Right.
And I think I don't want to take that away from people.
Right.
But at the same time,
I think it's constructible. I think we can build that nostalgia for future generations around something more healthy.
Right.
Because it's not being a Cajun, being a Kunas does not mean crawfish. You don't have to eat. That's not a prerequisite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just would like to beat that drum a little while. I know it's really early in the change phase or whatever you want to say, but it's okay. If you want to do it, let's do it. Let's do it like our ancestors who started eating crawfish. Maybe let's eat it as with the frequency with which they ate it, which was whenever they could gather up enough to eat to survive. Because who's digging crawfish out the swamp to eat them?
Yeah.
People that's about to die. That's
who.
We're not doing it every Friday during Lent.
Right, with beers and everything.
With beers and sausage and hot dogs and cheesecake afterwards and all that stuff.
Stuff that we're expending no energy to get at all. It's just coming to us.
Exactly.
No
and we just ordered it.
Yeah,
we didn't even boil it anymore. You just go to the store and buy it boiled. So.
Any blowback with family? You live around extended family?
Yeah.
So any, I mean, they're sort of now, they
for
got
For about
it.
A year. Yeah, for about a year. My mom's here with me today. With me. And so for about a year, everybody was kind of like, you've lost your mind.
Did they think you're not going to last?
Yeah, exactly.
That?
Exactly.
Fun little fad for Josh.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Like everything's not going to last, but just like my failed school attempt, it lasted. I got my degree. Clicked.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so
I got it. Yeah.
And then so I'm done. I'm ratcheting myself forward towards better all the time now.
What is next for you?
And next is besides my running aspirations, I think, you know, ratcheting forward more into my message and sort of constructing that, building that, putting that in a package that I can put out into the world and help people
Are you thinking about writing a book or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah.
And you're doing a lot more speaking these days. I mean, I see you kind of on the circuit.
Right, yeah.
And your work is such that you can bail. It's a family show. Like, I'll be home for a few days.
Thanks to my brother, because my brother's my partner. And we were dealing with a tenant just now. Uh-huh. And that's what I was doing just now. And so my brother's like my right hand. He's my go-to guy.
So
and,
he'll allow you to get off on that.
And he understands what I'm trying to do.
Right.
And but eventually my entire family got on the plant-based wagon with me. It took about a year.
So you've done it long enough where they're like, okay, what's this guy doing?
Yeah.
This makes sense.
And then they see me, right? It's not just, I'm not just looking the same, but saying.
It's got to be weird. Are both your parents still alive?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be weird for them to look at their son. Yeah. They, for most of your,
I'm
how old are you?
I'm a completely different person. Yeah, I'm 37.
Okay, so for literally 32 years?
Exactly.
I mean, you were this way, and the last 4, you're not.
In my hometown, now it's better because of social media, like everybody knows what I look like now. Yeah. But for a long time, it was like wearing a costume. Nobody knew me. People I'd known for my whole life would just introduce themselves to me.
Oh my God, because they hadn't seen you.
Right, because I'm literally a different person.
This jeans, Josh. You're like, what? Oh my God.
It's really crazy. But my family jumped on board, which is, except for my dad.
Fine.
Dads are that, I guess. Yeah. Who needs it the most, but my family's really jumped on board. My brother, although he hasn't gone whole hog and done all of the running and gotten down as lean as I have, he lost 100 pounds. He was over a 400 pound guy too. He was probably heavier than me. So my brother's lost 100 pounds, but he's kind of stayed at the minus 100 pound area and had never really gone any further. My little sister's in the same boat. She's lost a ton of weight. Wow. I don't know if she would be comfortable with me putting numbers on it.
In a healthy way? Right. I mean, are doing it in a healthy way.
All plant-based?
Yeah, yeah. So they're doing it in a healthy way.
Walking or running.
Yeah, great.
And
so they learn from you.
But the biggest thing that I'm proud of in this whole deal is my grandfather, who was my patriarch that I looked up to. And everybody told me, you're going to be big just like your Bam Bam. I call him Bam Bam. You're going to be big just like Bam Bam because I'm big, tall. Right. Yeah. And he was about 370 my whole life, 380 my whole life. And he was the cooker. He was the chef. He was the whiskey drinker. He was the MC of all the family events.
He was
the man. And I wanted to be just like him. And now he's got dementia and heart disease. Long story short, just to back up, he was 360 plus and 75 years old, right?
Right.
And getting older and starting to need to hover around. We're building ramps and doing all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I get plant-based. My mom and dad get on. Well, my mom gets on board. My brother gets on board. My sister gets on board. So now, just by default, my grandfather's eating this food. He's got dementia, so he can't fight it. Like, he just doesn't know. So he's like, this is good.
Oh, my gosh.
No, none of those old, things are attached anymore.
That's so interesting.
Right? So he's lost 160 pounds sitting in his recliner at 84 years old in May.
Gosh.
So May 25th, he'll be 84. He's lost 160 pounds. His cardiologist is like
blown
away. Yeah. He's off of all medication.
Oh my God.
Except for his memory medication. And that's what I was talking to Dr. Greger about this weekend. And I was like, you know, he's like, dude, plant-based diet will do more for slow, because there's no reversal of this disease. You can slow the progress.
Right.
And he said, and if you can get one of these people on a plant-based diet, it does way more to slow the progress than the pharmaceuticals will. So I was like, okay, so maybe he's coming off of his memory medication as well. We'll see.
Unbelievable.
But 160 pounds.
Oh my God.
His blood pressure is perfect. No
meds.
Oh
my God.
Cholesterol's perfect. No meds. And I do notice a lack of aggressive progression in the dementia.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my gosh. There's no negative.
It's just amazing.
There's no negative.
And it's like, how can I not be on fire for this?
I know.
You know?
Oh, such a great story. Well, so you're out there, man. I don't know what to tell you. You kicked ass. I'm glad that you came, sat here with me. I know you're busy with all the stuff that you were doing this weekend.
No, this is what I want.
I've kind of stalked you on Strava, I think.
Yeah, I'm I'm flattered that that you asked me, man.
It's really cool. I saw your name on the list, and I think you posted it first. I think on Facebook you said, you know, put us all there, and I was like, oh man, I'm so interviewing that guy if I can.
Yeah. It's a funny story. I was listening to your podcast, like I told you outside earlier, and I also have a sewer business, so I was out inspecting one of my lagoons. I have like these lagoons, and I drove off the levee to go check to see some work we had done. And I got stuck. And I was just all the way up to the chassis, stuck in mud, listening to your podcast, eating my gorilla salad that I had brought with me. It was supposed to be lunch, but I'm stress eating kale. Listening to your podcast. It's insane, right? It's like, so great. How far has
different places? Yeah,
right?
It's
really cool. Waiting on my brother to come scoop me up. Of course,
the savior.
Yeah,
your
my
buddy.
Savior.
Yeah, my right on. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Sure.
And for my listeners, how do they find you?
Just my name which is a unique name, so I'm lucky in that regard. So my last name is LAJAUNIE, Lajani, Josh Lajani. On any across all social media,
so
and I have both
names, Josh Lajani.
Josh Lajani, Josh Lajani at Josh Lajani on Instagram and Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook. I've tried to do the Facebook page thing, but it's harder to share. I'll deal with that when I hit my friends limit,
I'm having a lot of discussions on my podcast about social media.
And I have a blog, so joshlajani.com.
Okay,
and I have some self-education tools that I put on there, because I have all of these frequently asked questions floating around in my head, and I was like, let me trying to answer all of this stuff in a really efficient way.
Nice.
That way I could just send people to one place and show them instead of telling them. So of course there's, you know, Dr.
Okay.
Gregor and Barnard and all of those videos and
all
kind of stuff there.
I would love to have you back on when you've got a book out.
Yeah.
And if there's anything I can do to help promote that, you know, I'm behind you. And I
think
it's
so
great
much,
what you're
man.
Doing. And it really is an inspiration. I get words overused, but I think it's corrected sometimes. And this is one of those times.
I really appreciate it. It means
thank
a lot
you for,
to me.
Thank you for having coming on here. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, you guys. Josh Lajani, what'd you think? Did you think that was... anything? No? No comment? Okay. No comment. Fine. You're mulling it over and that's okay. You take your time. You guys are small steppers, so you take your time with your answer about that interview. I hope you had a good time in all seriousness. I really enjoyed talking to him. I think he's something special, so I hope you got some out of that. All right, you guys. Guess what happens next week? We resume with the normal fare. And I'm really glad I got to get an interview in here. It's very cool. And I think I might have another one coming up relatively soon with another person that I met here while on this here trip. This was a good one. Again, okay. You guys are doing great. Come back and visit me next week. You know where to find me. Approaching the Natural Podcast, Sid Garza Hillman signing off. If you want to email me any questions or comments or anything you know, you just go to podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. That's podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. Throw me an iTunes review. You know, if you got a little extra time on your hands. Okay? All right, you guys. You're doing awesome. Listen, until next week, be well.
That a shimmering sun would go away. You're all the words I couldn't say. There before me, your heart breaks, and I just watch it break. Not a place to hide, you are bare, and only to decide that I am coming with you, that I will finally see what you see. I have no place to hide, I am bare. You have learned to take. In a look I lay down with you, there in the way. Take its place. There are no more words that I could say. We are bare and our hearts break. That a threadbare moon will take its place. Yeah.